Coming up next on The Balanced Word.
Decisions can be made, and it's just not that important, even whether it's right or not, because we can't always know that. You just take your best shot. It's dangerous to never make a questionable decision. If every decision you make is based on the fact that you're going with conventional wisdom, you talk to everybody you know, and some people are like this, the simplest decision they're going to make in their life, to paint a room of their house. It's like, let me get 20 different people's opinions on these colors. You know, guess what? You are polling people who are wrong most of the time. So how much does that make sense, ultimately?
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
In the world as we know it, there's a lot of pressure to be right all the time. But as we'll learn today on The Balanced Word, that's really an unhealthy way to live. You see, the fact of the matter is we're wrong a lot more than we may think. And we need to be okay with that. That takes a lot of pressure off of us, doesn't it? Let's join Pastor Dave Rolfe in the Proverbs as we continue our series, Smarter Living.
There's only one way that we truly can please God, okay? The Bible, in Hebrews chapter 11, it makes this really clear. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For whoever comes to God needs to believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If you back up a few verses to where Paul says in Hebrews 11, 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, that don't exist yet, the evidence of things that you don't see. And I think faith is one of the most misunderstood concepts, which is really bad because faith is the only way that we can please God. See, if you are certain of something, you can no longer exercise faith in that something because it doesn't take faith. If I, take this pulpit here, if I just decide to put my weight on it and lean on it, that doesn't take faith. I've done that many times. I helped carry this thing in here. It's solid. It's not going anywhere. So it doesn't take faith. Now, if I was going to lean on one of Anson's guitars, that might take faith because it looks like it could shake and it could fall. Our lives, as we seek to please God, as we seek to do the things that He wants us to do, it depends on faith. And faith depends on uncertainty. The more sure you are of yourself, the less need you have for faith. We hear people errantly saying things like, boy, if I could just see a miracle, my faith would increase. People think, if we could just find Noah's Ark, wow, people's faith. No, if you found Noah's Ark, you would need less faith. Right now, I believe that Noah's Ark happened. I believe that God rescued the world in a big wooden boat. And I don't have to see it. If I saw it, I'd be sort of disappointed because I'd be like, I knew that already. But all of a sudden now, I don't have faith in that anymore because I've seen the thing. And in so many ways, just, making decisions out of uncertainty, that's ultimately what faith is. You just make the decision. The book Blink by Malcolm Gladwell does a story, his whole basic idea of the book is you will make the best decisions often by just making a decision. When you gather tons of information, it almost never helps you to make a better decision. A ton of research does not make improved decisions. It actually kind of just confuses you. And they did stories where they had people watch videotapes of college professors. And they would have a certain group of people that would watch a 45-minute college lecture. And then they would have people just watch 15 minutes of a college lecture. And then they had people watch like a minute of a college lecture. And in each case, they had the person who watched it guess what level of capacity they believe this professor is. Is this a professor who's amazing, 10 on a scale of 1 to 10? Is this a terrible professor? The amazing thing about it was that, and then they polled students who had the professor for an entire semester, compared the grades and everything else, so they were able to figure out who's a good teacher and who isn't. But the people who only watched him for a minute and made their call were closest to the students who had had an entire semester, which, again, it just shows we don't need more information, pressure to be right, it's all hanging on us. Decisions can be made, and it's just not that important, even whether it's right or not, because we can't always know that. You just take your best shot. It's dangerous to never make a questionable decision. If every decision you make is based on the fact that you're going with conventional wisdom, you talk to everybody you know, and some people are like this, the simplest decision they're going to make in their life, to paint a room of their house. It's like, let me get 20 different people's opinions on these colors. You know, guess what? You are polling people who are wrong most of the time. So how much does that make sense ultimately? There should be times when you go, you know what? I went with my gut. I just made a decision. It might be that God is inspiring that in you. Might not be. But the whole thing is, if you want a recipe for making all bad decisions, just listen to everyone and never make a questionable decision. I used to tell our teachers at Calvary years ago that if you don't, in every semester, at least once risk your job by doing something that might get you fired, you're probably not a very good teacher. Because the fact that most people are wrong, if you do things the way most people do it, you're going to be wrong most of the time. What a lot of this comes down to is, don't confuse yourself and God. Don't think that somehow God is counting on you to get it right. Of course, a manifest mental illness is when people have a thought, and every thought that comes in their head, they think God put it there. They don't know the difference between, I just had an idea, and God just spoke to me. And so these delusions that people get into, and they're like, this is from God. No, it's from your head, okay? Maybe God's behind it, but you think that a lot. Most of the time, it's not God, it's just you. Most of the time when you think you heard from God, it was just your pizza speaking from last night. And so, you know, remember Moses, he had served God faithfully for 40 years. And finally, he's about to enter the promised land, and the people needed water, and so God told Moses, just speak to the rock. Make water come out. People were they were having a bad day. They were bratty. And Moses is like ticked at the people. So he like gets up in front of the people and he's like, look, God and I are sick of you. Bunch of crying babies. And he whacks the rock a couple times. And water came out. And then God pulled him aside and goes, Moses, you're mad at the people. But why did you tell them that I'm mad at the people? Why are you confused between you and me? I'm not mad at them. Hey, I do get mad at them sometimes. A plague will wipe out thousands of them, then you'll know I'm mad. But don't think because you hate somebody that I hate somebody. And there are people who feel like they can add gravity to their opinions by saying God is on my side. And that's why you have picketers who carry signs that say, you know, that God hates the homosexuals. God doesn't say that, but you think just because you hate them that God must, because God is always on your side. Know the difference between you and God. You're the person that's wrong a lot. God's the person who's never wrong. Don't be delusional and confuse you and God. Ultimately, the thing is, the great thing about following God is that everything's going to be fine. He's going to be okay. God is not hoping that we get it right so that then he can be God. One of the verses in the Bible that for which we should be so grateful is Romans 8:28, when Paul tells us God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. What that means is a lot of times I don't know if I was right or not. Sometimes God was just covering my tail, and he was working it out. So if just because I do something and it works out well, that could just mean, look at God, he's so good. But, you know, again, it's like I have the faith. I don't have to be afraid of being wrong. I don't have to be like so arrogant that I'm going to hold on to my position for dear life, because I already know I have a God who's going to work everything out. God's not panicked the way that we are so often. Now, a final warning. Turn over to chapter 26 of Proverbs and verse 12. Proverbs 26, 12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? Somebody that really thinks he's smart? There is more hope for a fool than for him. It doesn't say he is a fool, but it says, you know what? If you think you're so smart, your future, your hope, I would rather count on somebody who's completely idiotic over somebody who's wise and thinks they're wise. The future does not handle well those who are wrapped up in certainty, that they just think, I know the answers. I have it all right. The Bible is full of stories of people who think like that and what ultimately happens for God to humble them and bring them down. So, question that we need to ask ourselves is, am I okay being wrong? You don't need to ask yourself if you're wrong or not. You are. A lot more than you think. But is that okay with you? Are you so threatened by the idea that you might be wrong, that you're paralyzed, the paralysis of analysis, you have a hard time even making decisions? Because it's like, well, what if we go to that rest? What if we go for Mexican food, and really we should have gone for Chinese food? And then you get to the restaurant, it's like, what if I get a burrito, and I really wished I had got a taco? And there are some people who are like so afraid to be wrong. Look, you're gonna be wrong. Wherever you go to eat, there probably would have been a place that you would have liked better if you had thought of it. But it's okay. It's worse to live your life paralyzed by worrying about whether you're right or wrong. Just let it go and just go, hey, I could be wrong. How often when you have a discussion or an argument with someone, do you tell them, look, this is what I think and I'm absolutely convinced of it, but I could be wrong? Because that's what wisdom and humility do. And is it okay for somebody to disagree with you? Can you continue to have a relationship with people who see reality differently than you do? And again, let me make this clear. There, you know, right and wrong is not relative. There is a right about everything. There's a truth, and there's a whole bunch of alternative lies. It's just that we have a hard time knowing the difference between them, and we need to maintain that humility to say God is the one who ultimately knows what all truth is. So are you okay for somebody to be in your life who disagrees with you? Are you okay even realizing that even if you're smarter than they are, they might be right and you might be wrong? As a parent, your little kid says something and they might be right and you might be wrong. Are you okay with that? Because in fact, that's life. That's the way it is. The smartest thing that you can do in your life is to realize how stupid you are, to realize how often you are wrong, because now you don't trust yourself all the time. Now you don't pridefully assume that anybody who disagrees with you is a bad person, is just wrong. That's a horrible way to live. And it's a prideful way to live. So to just go, you know what? I've been wrong before. I'm going to be wrong again. Again, I will continue to make decisions based on my integrity. I will say, look, this is what I feel the decision should be. It's the way I see it, and that's what I'm going to do. I will act with conviction, but never with the idea that I couldn't be wrong. I would always be, look, somebody has to make this decision, and I'm going to make this one, but I might be wrong. If I figure that out somewhere along the way, we'll make adjustments. Realize you're not as smart as you think you are. Let go of the pressure to be right. Let go of that feeling of, I'm afraid to make a decision because it could be wrong. Yeah, it could be wrong. It probably is wrong. But make a decision anyway. Let go of the notion that somehow life depends on you getting it right. Life depends on the God who always gets it right, not on you getting it right. Now, This is true in everything that we believe. So this is going to freak some of you out, but my central, most core belief is in what we call the gospel. It's that God sent his Son in the flesh, who lived a perfect life, died on the cross for our sins, rose again, went into heaven, promises that he will come back, and that if we put our faith in him, our trust in him, and again, it's faith in him. Believing by faith, we're going like, well, I don't know, this sounds like it could be wrong, but I'm just going to trust it anyway. Then we will be with him forever. That is the most important set of facts that I believe in my life. But you know what? I could be wrong. I've been wrong about a lot of stuff. So maybe I'm wrong about everything that I believe about the gospel. I would be foolish and arrogant to suggest that it's impossible for me to be wrong about that. So you go, well, then why do you devote your life to that? Here's partly why. You know, I definitely have that as a conviction. But I look at it and go, what if I find out at the end of my life that I believed something that wasn't really true, that I die and the lights are out and it's just all over? And at that last moment, if I had that awareness, how would I feel about spending my life believing in Jesus? See, all that has cost me believing the gospel is that I have lived most all of my adult life, basically, from when I was 18, knowing that I am forgiven, being absolutely convinced that there is a God who loves me, who hears my prayers and responds, that there is a way in which my future doesn't end when I die. That's just the beginning. And so I can't even tell you what that has done for my life. Now, again, the guy that just says, we're just a bunch of chemicals, and when you die, it's all over. Okay, yeah, I will concede. That's possible. It may not be likely the way I look at it, but it's possible. So what has that done for you? Living a life of despair, living a life of just going, you just can't know anything. Just because you're wrong a lot doesn't mean there's no such thing as right. Just because there are all kinds of different ideas about who God is, doesn't mean there's not a God. And the thing is, even if there's a slight chance that I might be right about this, about the most important thing in my life, about the whole point of the Bible, man, can you afford to just take a chance? Even if you say, okay, there's like a 2% chance that you're right, and a 98% chance that it's just a bunch of superstition and hooey. So what do you get? What do you get by believing that there's no God? What do you get by rejecting Jesus Christ just because you think it's not plausible to you? I mean, how's your percentage of being right in other things? And what could you gain by believing in what the Bible calls the good news? There's no good news outside of that. If, you know, really, if the whole story about Jesus and his gift of life and forgiveness for us, if that turns out to be not true, then what's life about at all? What difference does it possibly make? So what I would suggest to you is that if you've kind of rejected that, just ask yourself, what would it cost me to entertain the possibility that it just might be right? Maybe I've been wrong about Jesus, about faith, about God, about life. And here's the thing, receiving Jesus is free. He doesn't make you become something else. He doesn't, you know, mess up your life. He doesn't take everything from you. He just says, all I wanted to do was forgive you and love you. Why would you reject that? It's such a great deal. And I can't even fathom myself living life without any faith, without ever, you know, not believing in something that I don't have all the evidence for, that I don't explain it. What a sad and shallow life that would be. So for me, like I say, I'll admit I could be wrong, especially if you will also admit that you could be wrong. Then we look at it and go, so what makes sense? How do we parse this out? How do we make sense of it? And I would suggest that, as the Bible says, give it a try, taste and see that the Lord is good. What if you decide that on the outside chance that what most of the people in this room believe and what most of people who follow Jesus Christ for the last couple thousand years, so many great, influential, intelligent people have believed that same core truth of the gospel, then why wouldn't you just give it a shot? I would encourage you to do that today. There'll be people down here in the front who would love to pray with you. If you are open enough to just say, I could be wrong, you might be right, I'm going to give it a try. If forgiveness is free, I'll go for it and see what happens. And you can see what happens. I'm telling you, you will know very soon whether or not what you've done is meaningless and silly, or whether you've made the best decision of your life. And we could all testify that at one point we came to that point where we were just like, okay, you can forgive me, fine. And then all of a sudden, there was a freedom, there was a burden that was lifted off of us, and that can happen for you today. And I pray that you would do it. I don't get any points or anything if you do or if you don't. And again, I'm not just up here saying, oh, I'm absolutely certain. You know, I have these conversations with Jesus where he tells me which lottery tickets to buy and everything else just to prove himself to me. No, you know, but he has proven to be faithful and he has done everything for me that he promises that he would do. And knowing him, trusting in him, sets me free from having to be obsessed with being right all the time.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Now to finish things up in prayer, here again is Pastor Dave.
Lord, thank you for working with people like us. Where from the beginning, when you created the first two people, they decided that you were wrong and they were right. And we've had that same disease of sin ever since. And it leads to death. It leads to all of the bad things that happen in our lives that come from our pride and arrogance and our certainty. Humble us and give us the faith that even though sometimes when we think about what you tell us about what you did, that it seems even unlikely, but we want to trust you anyway. Because what you do for us when we accept your love and your forgiveness is something that we can't find anywhere else. For anyone who's wrestling with this decision, Lord, I just pray that today they would just think, okay, maybe it's true, maybe it's not, but what do I have to lose by inviting this supposed God to actually do something in my heart? Help them to know as they make that decision that you are real, that you are more real than anything else in this life. Help each of us to live in humility Help us to care more about character than we do about winning arguments. And teach us to trust you when the way gets dark and when we don't have answers and we want them so badly. Help us to exercise that faith that pleases you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, have a great weekend, and we'll catch you back here on Monday when we'll get right back into the Proverbs, seeking smarter living from the Word of God. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up.